I hope that's your prayer, and if it is, I hope you'll say a good amen. Amen. Walk through this life. Be Jesus to someone today. Someone today. To all our middle schoolers, you can head toward the back. Our elementary folks, you can move along out there. Miss Andrea's got something wonderful prepared for you. And so as you came in today, maybe you grabbed one, but we did go ahead and make out a 21 days of gratitude. We'll try and put that online this afternoon for some of you that are more digital. But I hope you'll take that if that'll help you in the next few weeks to practice some gratitude. Make sure you grab one of those. There's some out in the lobby. And so I hope you'll avail yourself of that. The book of Ephesians this morning. Ephesians, then we're going to go right on over to the book of 1 Thessalonians. And so I want to help you. I really think this is not only the need of the hour, but I think that is the evergreen attitude that we need. So Ephesians chapter 5, if you're looking on your phone or your tablets, you're probably already there. If you're using your paper Bibles, I hope you do that. If someone around you doesn't have a Bible, I hope you'll share that with them. And if somebody won't share a Bible with you, if you'll raise your hand and point them out, and we'll escort them out of the service. And we won't do that. Ephesians chapter 5, stand with us if you're willing and able. We'll read God's Word together. Ephesians 5, look at verse 3. The Bible says, "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become saints." What you do with your body, in other words, this you should not do that. Sexual sin, fornication, living together, all those kind of things, what you do with your mind. Verse 3, "Neither filthiness or foolish talking, jesting, which are not convenient, which are not prudent there." So then he switches to sins of your mouth. And the sins of your speech, your communication, but rather giving of thanks. If you look at verse 18 there, the Bible says, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess or dissipation. Be filled with the Spirit. Don't be controlled by alcohol and drugs, but instead be controlled by the Spirit of God. Speaking yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." And he wraps it up there in this Trinitarian idea. The Trinity cares what you do with your speech, with your mouth, with your language, with your communication. And one of the things you ought to do is give thanks. If you'll flip just a page or two over there to 1 Thessalonians, just go a few books to the right there in your Bible. And this is where we'll stay. Verse 18, the Bible says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Something you don't have to pray about. What is God's will for your life? God's will for your life is for you to give thanks. And so I'm asking God to help us today to prime our pumps and to remind us of the spiritual obligation we have to be grateful. And would you pray with me, Father? I pray right now that you would speak to every heart, Lord, every situation. Lord, if we've got plenty of money in the bank and the groceries have been bought and paid for, and the pantry is stocked, and the fridge is full, and the freezer out in the garage has got plenty of beef and pork and chicken, Lord, we feel thankful. But the reality is, Lord, we can feel thankful if everything's opposite of that. Lord, if all we've done is go to the doctor and all we've got is bad news, we can still be grateful. Lord, our gratitude is independent of our circumstances. And so I pray you'd teach us that as the believer, we can be thankful because of your blessings and because of your character. So remind us of that today. Help us not to be given over to our feelings, which are important, but Lord, they're fickle. And I pray that we would be reminded and learn maybe for the first time, and that we could demonstrate and practice biblical gratitude. And Father, I pray you do that. And I pray, Lord, that we would understand that ingratitude is such a sign of a lost heart. So I pray even today, draw us to yourself. Help those that are close to the kingdom, Lord, they take the next step and they'd follow you. And I pray even now that you'd work in our hearts, work in my heart again. May I preach, Lord, with the power of the Spirit of God, and that it would be so evident that you're at work in our lives and through your scripture. And I pray that you'd get all the glory and the honor and the praise. And ask this all in your son's precious name, and amen. You can be seated. You can be seated. Chuck Swindoll said, "The longer I live, the more I realize the impact of attitude on life. Attitude to me is more important than facts, than the past, than education, than money, than circumstances, than failures, than successes, than what other people think or say. It is more important than appearance, giftedness, or skill. It'll make or break a company, a church, or a home. The remarkable things that we have a choice every day regarding the attitude we embrace for the day. Can't change our past. We can't do anything but accept the fact that some people act in a certain way. We can't change the inevitable. We can do is the one string. We can play the one song on the one string we have, and that is our attitude. We are absolutely, positively in charge of it, and we must make sure that our attitudes are worth having. And I would say to you that the attitude that is evergreen is to be gratitude. I don't normally announce my title, but I was smitten with the title. I read it somewhere. The Grumbler's Guide to Giving Thanks. Anybody identify with part of that or all of that title there? The Grumbler's Guide to Giving Thanks. Grumbling and mumbling are onomatopoeia words. If that hurts your head, it's because it's a giant word. But onomatopoeia means a word sounds like the way it's spelled. So grumbling, you know. So when we grumble, when we mumble, when they say those things, yay is an onomatopoeic word, ooh is an onomatopoeic word. It sounds like the way it is. And so when we grumble, we rumble, we mumble, we murmur, we complain. Anybody in here, by the way, you find it easier to grumble and complain than to be grateful and have a proper attitude of thanks to the Lord. Isn't it funny how doing the wrong thing is easier than doing the right thing? And we read those three sets of verses there. Give thanks. This is God's will. In everything, give thanks. And we look at that and we go, well, if this is God's will, then I'm not doing real well here. I'm not doing real well here. Now, by the way, if you had a fight on the way to church, I'm so sorry. You just got to fake it for a minute or two here. If everything went sideways, a few things in my life will mess me up more than auto repair. I don't know what it is. I learned a while back to try and set some things back. We drive older cars. It's going to happen. Lady at the auto shop said, your car needs this, 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 and this. And it needs this, this, and this, and this. I said, what I got to have just to be able to drive it? She said, that's what I told you. I went, I don't like you very much. And she was going there, and it foments a bad spirit within me. Some of you are that way about house repairs. Others of you, you know, if your clothes get messed up, some of you complain about, you know, gas going up 3 cents or 4 cents. That's always the fun people with me. You spend an extra 40 cents and your whole day's ruined. And so we're funny. We're good about that. Some of you watch TV. Anybody, you yell back at the TV. Somebody says something, you go, that's not right. That's not right. You're there, you know. I watch people having conversations with AM talk radio. That's got to be what it is. Either that or they're crazy. You know, their car. I'll be at a stoplight and somebody going, and they're pointing at their XM radio. And I'm going, I don't know what's happened. I'm watching an act of violence in a car with somebody who's alone. And there, when we're here, we're there. How many married folks, engaged folks? I mean, if you need to look around, you're not married, all right? Anybody you ever gotten to an argument or discussion about something that your spouse or your spouse dreamed and you were in trouble? They had the dream and they woke up and they were horked off with you? Anybody that? And you're like, I'm so sorry, but you know that was not real. Not real, not real. We had a day-long argument one time. I can say this because she's not in here. And we had a day-long argument one time, and she just, man, she couldn't go over it. And she said, it was so real, so real. I'm like, baby, you know, number one, I can't fly, and number two, I'm scared of you. I'm scared of you, and all these kind of things. And man, we were working out. We hadn't been married long, and it was real to her, and it wasn't real to me. And the more I made fun of her, the madder she got, and it was a thing. It was a thing. And then I kept bringing it up, because I thought it was funny. And I thought the more I made fun of her, you know, it would go away. I don't think that anymore. Married the first year, I thought it was a sound strategy here. When we're doing this, man, being grateful is tricky, is really tricky. I give you a couple things. Why is it such a big deal? Let me do it. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2. I think it gave you that in your text there. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetousness. That means I want what you've got. Lovers of their own selves. By the way, have we ever found a more narcissistic group of people? How many times since it was daylight have somebody done one of these? Can you find a 30-year-old who doesn't take a selfie about every 32 seconds? People taking pictures of their food over. I mean, covetousness, boasters. Again, make a great politicians, but lousy people. Proud. Can't tell me what to do. God can't tell me what to do. Blasphemers. One of the craziest things we've done is teach a generation of preteen girls, preteen boys, teenage boys, college-age young people that OMG is an improper thing to say. You are blaspheming God. Disobedient to parents. Anybody know any young people who are disobedient to their parents and their step-parents? Put up with it? Make excuses for them? Doubling down, helping them in their sin? How many think that's going to work out well? Unthankful and unholy. If you look at that setup there, one sticks out. The rest of them, you understand that they're sinful. But unthankful, that's just the human condition, right? Because we're all insane people. How many of you have been out to eat in the last month? Anybody eaten a meal that you didn't cook in the last month somewhere else? Is that most of you? Have you been across the table from somebody, or maybe you're talking to your spouse, maybe you're talking to your friend or your neighbor or whatever, or you're just sitting there eating, you're eating the spaghetti, you're going, you know, I had really good Italian food at this other place. You know, you're eating a burger and going, this burger is pretty good, but the burger over there off of Kingston Pike, that was really good too. And so you start imagining, you know, the better food that you had while you're eating the food that you got in front of you. It's a great first world problem, but it's just insane, right? We can't be thankful. We can't be thankful for the food that's in front of us. We have a little joke, running joke. Allison, Riley, and I. Andrea will make some new recipe and it'll be out of this world. And we can't tell her that it's good. Because if we say, honey, this is really good, we'll never see it again. It never comes back, you know. It's just like it never happened. So we were eating something the other night, and Riley said, Mom, this is like awful. Don't ever make this again. And Andre goes, be quiet. And kind of barks at him, all that. But we're here. We are bound to this. God makes a big deal out of being ungrateful because ultimately, like most sins, it is not horizontal. It is vertical first. When I am ungrateful, I'm saying, God, you did not do a good job. Say, help me with that. Glad to. It was a mom, might have been dad, might have been stepmom, might have stepdad, might have been grandma. Somebody in your life gave a speech like this. I'm so disappointed in what you did. But I realize it's my fault. If I had been a better, whatever, dad, mom, stepdad, grandma, grandpa, whoever it was in your life that gave that speech, if I'd have just done better, how many of you are feeling guilty right now, reminiscing about whoever gave you that speech in your life? If you just do that now, and you crumble, you're like, man, just spank me. Just paddle me. Just take away my phone. Take away my car. Take away the computer. Whatever it is, but quit giving me a speech because I feel so bad about that. Why? Because we can't stand the thought of breaking the heart of someone who loved us. Let me help you. When we are unthankful, guess what we're doing? God, you didn't do a good enough job. It is a big deal. Because we are indicting the character of God Almighty. Because that verse 21, Romans chapter 1, the indictment of humanity there. When they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. Read the rest of that. Neither were they thankful. I said it Wednesday night. I'll repeat it again. I was in a discourse with a secularist years and years ago. We were exchanging, and he said, you know, I don't pray over my food, and I haven't got food poisoning. I don't pray over my food, and there's nothing special there. It hadn't protected me from the calories, protected me from the insulin spike, whatever. I don't sit the knee. I wrote back, I said, how foolish are you? I'm not praying over the food to protect me from food poisoning. I'm not praying over the food to take the calories. I'm bowing my head and saying, God, thank you that I have the ability to work my arms, move my mouth, and that somebody somewhere prepared the food for me, whether it was me or not. I had the money to go buy it. Somebody gave it to me. Whatever it was, I'm just thankful that I get to eat. And pity the poor person who can't bow their head and say, God, thank you for what I'm about to receive at the bounty of your hand. And they knew God, they glorified Him, they ran the other way. It is a wicked sin. I gave you a couple of things in your notes there. Ingratitude is a sign of a lost heart and, at the very least, a backslidden Christian. I don't have. Ingratitude. One of the surest things. By the way, you see this percolating. You wonder if a young person knows Christ or not. They hit 13, 14, 15, somewhere there, and they become unbelievably ungrateful. That's a sign of a lost heart. Sign of a lost heart. Don't let your children get up from the table and not say thank you to whoever fixed the meal. Truth of the matter is, if they didn't help cook, they need to go help clean. Somebody say amen. They need to take care of their stuff. Your room ought to be clean. Your room ought to be clean, not because you got OCD and because you're manic. Your room ought to be clean because somebody bought that, somebody provided for it, and the least they can do is take care of it. Somebody else say amen. Ingratitude is a sign of a lost heart. Sign of a lost heart. And it's obviously the sign of a backslidden Christian. That's one of the first things to go. The lack of praise in our life, the lack of gratitude toward God, it's a sign there of a lost heart. Excuse me. Unthankfulness is also the sign of a pagan generation. You see that in verse 21. Neither were they thankful. They're disobedient to parents. Can't tell me what to do. In my lifetime, I watched from parents going to the teacher going, if you have trouble with my young person, I will handle it, to the young person coming and the parent standing there all bowed up going, my young person has a problem with you. In my lifetime, I watched that transformation. Tarlita's amen and hallelujah and saying that's why she retired. That's not why she retired, but anyway. Ingratitude. Unthankfulness is a sign of a pagan generation. That's not my point, because I want to help us. Why is it so difficult? Why is it so difficult? My notes say I shared this little list about 3 years ago, but it's worth repeating there. We have trouble for all these reasons, and I'll just go boom, boom, boom. No, we have trouble sometimes being thankful because of our circumstances. If it's a 2 or 3 Tylenol day, it's a tough day to be thankful. Tough day to be thankful. Everything you touch and all that. Anybody ever been tweaking your computer and all of a sudden your computer stopped working? Anybody, you weren't minding your own business and the TV stopped working? I thought my mom was going to lose her mind. Her sister came over and said, I'm going to reprogram your remotes. And she left, and none of the remotes worked anymore, supposedly and all. She said, the only thing that works is the Roku, and the only thing that works is some foreign language thing. Help me. And help me. And I'm like, I don't live there, Mom. I don't know what to tell you. I want to tell you anyway. And they got it all worked out and got it all figured out and stuff like that. And so circumstances, man, just a tricky kind of thing. Comparisons. Social media is so bad with this. So, or any of the photo sharing. It doesn't have to do with social media. Photo sharing. You feel pretty good about your vacation until you see someone took a cruise. You feel pretty good about your cruise until you see somebody took a Disney cruise. You feel pretty good about your Disney cruise until somebody took a Viking cruise. And then you feel pretty good about that, and then somebody says, yeah, and somebody gave me the Viking cruise, and now you feel really bad, right? Comparison is just terrible. Somebody says, hey, that's a nice outfit, and you go, yeah, I bought it for $3 at TJ Maxx. It was misplaced. And you're like, I thought I did pretty good for my $10 outfit from Walmart. Man, comparison just kills us. It just kills us. Complaining. Anybody ever figured out complaining? Complaining is catchy. You ever been around somebody in a bad mood, put you in a bad mood? Don't raise your hand, but just kind of nod at me, right? You were doing okay, and you got around them, you're like, well, fine, if this is how it's going to be. And now you're in the world's worst pickleball, right? Yeah, take that. Well, I had a bad day. Well, I had a worse day. You ever been around two people whose social skills, older people maybe, whose social skills have kind of diminished, and they start trying to compare ailments? Yeah. Yeah, I got a new one of these. Yeah, I got this medicine, you know. And you're like, this is the world's worst horror show right here. I told this years ago. My brother and I, my grandmother, my Nana from Florida had come up and was visiting my father's mother. So Grandma and Nana were in the same room. At the time, I didn't think that could happen. I thought there was some kind of law that the grandparents couldn't be there. One lived in Florida, one lived in Eastern North Carolina. And they started trying to one-up each other about medical difficulties. And my brother looked at me and said, if there is a purgatory, we are here. And as they tried to outdo one and each other about who'd had the worst situation, complaining, consumerism, do a little retail therapy. Only problem is you get home. Anybody been really excited? You bought a bunch of stuff and you leave it in the bag on the table and it sits there for 2 or 3 days. What you were so excited to buy, you can't be bothered to unbox it. Anybody, you got Amazon stuff still waiting for you to cut it open? But you had to have it and you paid for Prime so you could get it that afternoon. Consumerism, callousness of others. Ingratitude, man, works because people don't seem to care. They don't care. They don't care that you got a new car. They don't care that you got a new suit. They don't care that you're struggling. When everybody else seems to have it made and you don't. I started to put FOMO up there, but it wasn't a C. You're worried you're going to miss out. The callousness of others. And it is just contrary to our spirit. We complain a lot easier than we're grateful. I can prove it to you. Those of you who had a prayer time, quality time with the Lord in the last two or three days, I guarantee you it was easier to ask for stuff and ask for relief from problems than it was to just sit there and thank God. It just grates against our system, grates against our spirit. By the way, anybody, what's that, six things there? Anybody struggle with any of those six things besides the preacher? How many of you are too busy complaining about the list I got on the screen? All right. Why is it being the same voice that praises God for his provision and blessing should be the same voice that trusts God when he doesn't have so much that it will ruin him? Bobby Flores, longtime deacon at my home church, grew up poor. See the ground through the slats in the wood house, little farmhouse he grew up in, or a house in a bad part of town. Died a multimillionaire, extravagant giver to Christ. He liked to say it like this: God, let me have exactly enough that it won't ruin me, and no more. And the day that I can't handle what you've given me, Lord, take it away. I heard him pray it in public. I knew he prayed it in private. Somebody discipled him. Somebody discipled him. Similar story to what Bill was saying. Somebody led him to Christ, discipled him. To the day he died, even the days he was hospitalized, he'd never missed a day reading his Bible and praying. Somebody told him that was how he would grow, and he just believed him. And most every day he prayed, Lord, let me have exactly what you can trust me with and not a penny more. And the day you can't trust me with it, I pray you take it away. Why? Because he figured out it was more important to be grateful and praiseworthy than to be ruined by his mess and his stuff. How can I do this then? How can I do this? Just one, two, three, and we're done. You still with me? Say amen. Anybody need a little help here? Say amen. Why is it so difficult? Let me help you. The manner of giving thanks. You're there. You've got your Bibles open to both those places. Notice what he says there. We are to give thanks not for everything, but in everything. In everything I can do. For everything I'm not thankful for. I'm not thankful. I'm not thankful for sickness and disease. I'm not thankful for headaches and heartache. I'm not. I'm just not thankful for those things. I'm not thankful when I have a flat tire or pick up a nail. I'm not thankful. I was weed eating the other day, or at the house, and I was weed eating the other day, and I picked my safety glasses up to do something, forgot to put them back on, man, and all of a sudden the backyard got in my eye. I was not thankful for that, especially since I had my glasses, 6 inches away. I could have put them back on. And as there, just something dumb and, kind of messed up the rest of my evening and all. I'd finished work and stuff for that. Man, we're not thankful. If you get the thing, I'm thankful for everything, you're just reading the scripture. But in everything, I can be thankful. God, in everything. In everything, man. I'm thankful that, man, today wasn't such a good day. But you know what? You had a terrible day one day, and you died on the cross for my sins. And I am thankful to the Lord that you have done this and you have helped me. And I am thankful, hallelujah, that in everything I can do that. I am in everything. The everything there is the idea. All that refers, all in life, the highs and lows, the struggles, the trials, the testings, all of these things. I am able to give thanks. Thankfulness is part of the regenerate life. It's part of being born again. It is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. If you have a trouble here, that in everything I can do this. Unthankfulness for so many. Unthankfulness is to be disobedient. It's spiritually abnormal for a Christian to be unthankful. It can turn into an absolute positive spiritual cancer in our lives. When the early church met, it gave thanks to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, you can write that reference down, look it up later. 1 Corinthians 14, in verse 17, says, "For you are giving thanks well enough, but the other person is not edified." In other words, when they were practicing their spiritual gifts, when they were doing the preaching, one of the things that was key in their service is to give thanks. One of the things we do every Wednesday night, every midweek service, is we give an opportunity for people to give thanks. We try and do that in our Sunday school times, in our small group time. What are you thankful for? What are you thankful for? We are to be given to this. We read those passages. It's God's will for us to do this. In every circumstance, God is good. In every circumstance, I can pray. Every circumstance, nothing is hopeless. I can talk to God. He can handle it. I can give thanks. John Piper, when he was diagnosed with throat cancer years ago, pastor of the Bethlehem Baptist Church, I think he's the pastor emeritus now, he wrote a little booklet, Don't Waste Your Cancer. Provocative, evocative title. He wrote it that way because what? Don't miss the opportunity to give thanks to God when everybody else says this is an awful, terrible thing. By the way, I believe that. Don't waste your circumstance. In everything, give thanks. In your singleness, give thanks. In your marriedness, give thanks. Give thanks. Give thanks. Give thanks. God, you are bigger than my circumstance. You're bigger than my problem. I can do that. You say, preacher, I'm with you, but well, how do I do that? I can do that through praise. The word there in Ephesians there is the word eucharisteo. It's the idea of offering of praise. Let me help you. Let me break it down. I was messing with some of you, but there's about 15 of you, man. You didn't even try and say the verse. You didn't even try and repeat back to God his own word. That's praise. That's praise. Sing. Say, I sing poorly. It didn't stop me. I just let it rip. I'm practicing. If church is a picture of heaven, we're rehearsing for heaven. I want to be tuned up time I get there. Praise the Lord. By the way, don't sing Rocky Top at the top of your lungs. And then mumble through, Jesus is all the world to me. Somebody say amen. We can pray. We can do that. Thank the Lord. Praise the Lord. Honor the Lord. I'll be real. I got to wrap up. Look. When I get stuck, I usually have a praise problem or a complaining problem. And when I do that, when I got the grumble mumbles and the woes me and all the other bad attitude Bob and all that stuff come to visit, for years now, I get a blank piece of paper and a pen. It's what I'm thankful for. This is what I'm thankful to the Lord for. This is what I'm praising God, one of his attributes. And I'll write until the page becomes real to me. To give thanks. Well-meaning person recently, I don't know what they were thinking. They were like, what happened to you? What happened to you and your family? Just so unfair. and they were mad for me. And I said, I'm fine. You don't have to be that way. You can be real with me. I said, I'm being real with you. And I reminded them. Some of you have heard me say, I didn't think I'd get married. I got married. And I way outkicked my coverage when I got married. I didn't think I'd have any children. I had children. I wanted a boy and a girl. We had a boy and a girl. God gave us a third child with the Lord now. I didn't think I'd stay married. I was pretty sure anybody married me would be on the next 48 hours. You know. And so far, so good. I'm talking a lot of smack with Andre not in the room. I didn't think I'd see another birthday. I've seen five. I didn't think I'd see another Christmas. I didn't think I'd walk anybody down now. I think I'd go another down an aisle. I didn't think I'd go to another graduation. I've done lots of those things. Not going to make me chippy with God. I have an appointment with death just like you do if he doesn't return. I'm not mad about that. I don't know why I was mad, just because I thought I knew when I was going to pass. You be thankful. You be thankful, and I'm going to praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm not going to mumble. I'm not going to grumble. Again, I'm going to sing his praises. I'm going to shout his praises. I'm going to say his praises. There's the two ideas. There's the attitude and the action, the attitude and the action. And finally, there's the motive for giving thanks. The motive. If you're still with me, say amen. The motive. There's two motives that he gives here. Number one is the will of God. The will of God. And number two, it is the plan of God. The will of God, the plan of God. The will of God. This is the will of God. This is God's desire for you. You are to be grateful, practicing it daily. One of the best disciplines you can do is just try and have a time of prayer and don't ask God for anything. You say, well, preacher, I live in a sin-cursed world and bad stuff has happened. I believe that. You don't know my circumstance. I may not. I promise you that God does, and that God cares. And the fact that he died on the cross for your sins and offers you freedom and forgiveness and justification in all of the blessings of heaven is reason enough for you to be thankful even in the worst and the toughest of days. The Sunday before Thanksgiving, as is our custom, I will recite the little story about Corrie Ten Boom being thankful for the fleas. I'm telling you, you can be grateful. It is God's will for your life. By the way, like forgiveness, sometimes this is supernatural. I will praise you in the storm if I have to. And then it's the plan of God. The plan of God. There's those things that go along with the will of God. It's God's will for you to be saved, to trust Christ. It's God's will for you to be growing in grace, growing in grace. Some of you need to find a group. You need to get some accountability in your life. You need to be somewhere. You need to get up earlier, get to Sunday school, whatever it is. You get a small group. You need to do that. You need to be controlled by the Spirit of God. One of the things I pray every morning, almost without fail, before my feet hit the floor is, Holy Spirit, help me, fill me today, control me today. By the way, those are the best days, and the worst days is when I got to say at the end of the day, Lord, clean up the mess I made today. God's will sometimes for you to suffer. This is the will of God even that you suffer for him. God thinks enough of you to let the spotlight of suffering be put on your life so that you may praise him in the middle of your difficulty. And then finally, we read it. This is God's will that you say thanks. You say thanks. These are old sayings and all. I just put them as a way of practicality. Don't worry, want, or waste, but be thankful. That's the 30s speaking there, 1930s. We are all of those things, and we are not thankful. Make sure you practice daily gratitude. Take a moment, write out something. Be grateful. Some of you texting people, you can send somebody, I'm thankful for you, text. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Some of you that volunteer around here, we try and send out some things. Not so you'll think Andre and I are special or anything like that, but because we need the discipline of being thankful to people who serve the Lord. Pray about the things that worry you. You know, God, this bothers me. But God, you can handle it. Talk to him about it. Thankfulness says that I can trust you in my circumstances. We know that all things are working together for good to those who love God, those who are called according to his purpose. When I do that, I can be thankful. By the way, I can be thankful when I'm not real happy with what's going on. Case in point, when it's other people's sin, and I'm just as miserable as I can be because they don't listen. And I can see, man, they're headed off the cliff. God, I can be thankful you care about them more than I care about them. God, this circumstance I would not have picked, I would not have chosen. But I trust you in the middle of my difficulty. And I will praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I will thank you that you have redeemed me from my sin. I will thank you that you prepared a home for me in your heaven. God, that you are greater than my opportunity, greater than my circumstances. God, I thank you that you're in charge. And in the midst of my bad circumstances, I have everlasting, eternal joy found in Christ. Be grateful. God, help us to practice the attitude that's always in season, gratitude. Would you pray with me? Father, work in our hearts right now. And Lord, may we come. May we come, many, and just come around the altar for a second and be grateful to you. Lord, if we've been saved, we have something to be grateful for. Lord, we start thinking about our blessings. Lord, we'll fill up so fast. Lord, for many, perhaps, they're going to come and pray about a situation where it is really difficult. They're asking you to intervene and intercede, whatever it is, Lord. And Lord, it is the season. Lord, but this is always in season. So help us, I pray. Use this, use these days. Use our 21-day little calendar, whatever it is. Help us practice your will to be grateful.